Thank you. May be seated.
Well, good evening. We're glad that you're able to be with us for our praise service. And I don't know of anything better at a praise service than to see people that are willing to follow the Lord in baptism. And if you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. We'll try to find out, visiting family with some of these that are being baptized today, and we're glad that you're with us. But we want to explain to you, the water has nothing to do with any salvation. These folks are coming as obedience, to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, for they have put their faith and trust in Him and in Him alone. And so we're excited for each one of them, and I know it's a very important time, and one that they're thankful to be able to follow the Lord. And we'll have someone pray before they're baptized, but we're excited for these, and we're going to start with Kayla Kelly. Kayla, you'd think I'd have all these K's right, you know. Okay, there's a big step right there, Kayla. Well, Kayla, you've been coming to Brookside a little time, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you're on your way to heaven, you know that for sure?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, why don't you share with everyone how you know you're going to live eternally with the Lord one day, Kayla?
Well, I grew up in a Christian home with parents that love God. And when I was 4, my Sunday school teacher taught on heaven and hell. I didn't understand faith at the time. I just didn't want to go to hell. I was scared of fire. So I lived off of that profession of faith until I was 20. For 15 years, I lived as that quote-unquote good girl and was heavily involved in my church ministries and a leader in my youth group. Everyone was convinced, except me. After some circumstances in my life, I started to see how wicked my heart could be and how much I truly needed the Lord to save me from myself. I finally began to realize it wasn't a prayer that saved a person. It was faith in God. I came to Brookside last October in 2015, and that next month, during one of the college Bible studies, heard Stephanie Schuler giving her testimony about growing up in a Christian home and not really knowing the Lord as her Savior. That night, right after that, my mom texted me telling me that one of the ladies that was highly respected in my church had come forward and accepted the Lord as her Savior. My mom and that lady felt for some reason someone else out there would get saved as a result. Someone else out there that looked the part but wasn't saved. And my mom had no idea that night that she was praying for me. Mm. That night, I asked the Lord to come into my heart and save me from my sin and to be the Lord of my life. Tonight, I'm speaking to everyone, but mainly two groups. Number one, the teens that are living in a Christian home and pretending, or even young adults, and those that believe it's a prayer that saved you, because those were the two things that I struggle with the most. Teens, young adults, everyone may be convinced, but it's not worth pretending. Don't waste your life. Get saved and dive into a real relationship with Christ. And those believing in a prayer, it's not the prayer that saves you. It's the person. I'd like to leave you with a verse, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. And Kayla has asked Dr. Melcher if he would pray before she's baptized. So, Dr. Melcher.
Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for Kayla tonight. We give thanks for her salvation testimony that we just heard. We especially give thanks for her public profession of believer's baptism. We pray that you will keep her faithful in her study of the Word, her witnessing to others in the workplace, and whenever she goes about, that she may be a gospel light in the world. We also pray that she will successfully complete her academic studies at Maranatha and will know and follow the will of God in her life. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Kayla, upon your profession of faith, Kayla, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised from the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. Well, this is John Fion. Some of you have probably seen him on Wednesday nights out there grilling for us. And we're excited for John and his willingness to follow the Lord in baptism from when he put his faith and trust in the Lord. So, John, you know you're on your way to heaven?
Oh, yes.
Why don't you share with us how you know you're going to live with God one day?
Well, I was raised in the Methodist Church, very active family in the Methodist Church, but and I was baptized there the way they do it. And I guess I'd have to categorize myself as kind of being Christian light after that. It was kind of up here. But I needed help. And I asked for it, and I got it. So I know that it's only through Jesus Christ that these things can happen.
John, thank you. He's asked that Kathy pray before he's baptized. So Kathy, if you'd pray for John. John, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. This is Paul Benebos, and Paul and his wife Crystal have just recently been attending here at Brookside. There you go. And Paul, you enjoyed visiting with you there in my office. You know you're on your way to heaven?
I do.
Why don't you share with our folks how you know you're going to live with the Lord?
Okay. Getting baptized to me is important because it's important to God. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior on January 18th, 2013. Baptism has been something I've wanted to do, but God's plan for me was to wait until I had a church family to celebrate it with. Hallelujah. I was not raised with organized religion. We believed in God and celebrated Christmas. Sorry. I'm actually so excited, you guys. Woohoo! Yay, God! We didn't walk the walk. Ignoring the fact that I made little notice, if any, give me strength. We believed in God and celebrated Christmas, but we didn't walk the walk. Ignoring the fact that I made little, if any, notice to our perfect God and Father, he continued to bless me, allowing me to become a successful world medalist in figure skating. I suffered a training accident that left me in a coma. The doctors had to fight to bring me back to life twice. I've never felt such a feeling of loss and disappointment as the two times that those doctors won that fight. God never quit holding me because he allowed me to make a full recovery and didn't send me back as a vegetable. The doctors said that I would be. He gave me two beautiful sons and blessed me with a home in Colorado. Like the book of Job, I wasn't touched, but my faith was tested again with a destroyed marriage. Through a series of fortunately unfortunate events, I lived in a homeless shelter for 15 months. I accepted the love of Jesus Christ the first day I arrived into the shelter. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life, Romans 6:4. I'm excited to be buried with Christ so that I can begin my obedience with God. When light is present, the darkness must flee. With my baptism and public proclamation that Jesus Christ is Lord, He will come and dwell inside of me. It will come and dwell inside of me, making it impossible for the darkness to ever come near.
Amen. Hang on. We're going to pray. All right. Father, we thank you so much for Paul, and that through this accident and going into the shelter there, that your love was demonstrated to him, and he understood that Jesus Christ was his salvation, and he put his faith and trust in you. And we're so thankful for that day, and we're so thankful that he has sensed that he's found a church family that he can celebrate his baptism with. And so we pray that you would use his life for your glory in a great way. May he continue to advance your kingdom by his testimony and by his life. We thank you for he and Crystal and their family, and we pray that you would be glorified through his obedience this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, upon your public profession of faith, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. I love that excitement, Paul. Trenace, let's just wait. Hold on a second, Trenace. I just want to make sure. Trenace had asked Steve Pfeiffer. Is Steve here yet? Okay, Steve, come on up here to the front if you would. Trenace, come on up. This is Trenace Utke, and we're so thankful. And big step. Oops, huh? Can you hear fine? Step down. And Steve's going to pray, and is this your son?
Yeah, that's my son, Kevin.
All right, Kevin, we're glad to have you. Paul's wife, Crystal, is over here with the baby, so I forgot to acknowledge her when Paul was being baptized. Anybody else here for Steve's here? All right. And Trinesh, you know you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Why don't you share with our folks how you know you're going to live with the Lord one day?
Before my life was a train wreck, life presented so many challenges from childhood to the present. How crazy things were. I felt I was alone in the world and unloved. I did not want to be a helpless victim of circumstances, so I began searching for something different and to fill the void in my life. I heard other people speak about a personal relationship with Jesus and that God is love. My quest was for something better than this life. So I attended different churches and started reading the Bible. I listened and I learned and I learned and I listened. And I found Jesus loved me. Jesus loved me so much that he gave his life for me. He died for my sins and provided me with salvation. I did not have to go through life alone anymore. Life became more peaceful. No matter what challenges I go through in life, and I know I will have some, I will always have Jesus at my side. So today I'm being baptized as a sign I'm a believer in Jesus. And I love Jesus, but he loved me first.
Amen. And Steve Pfeiffer, I don't know how many of you remember Steve. Steve used to be here at Brookside, and then he moved out to Burlington, and he's very active in his church. And I remember the day you got baptized, Steve. And so he's Trenace's insurance agent and has had opportunities to I'm sure minister the word at times with Trenace. So, Steve, why don't you have a word of prayer here for Trenace?
Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, Trenace is here tonight because of your love and her belief. She's here because she is humble and teachable and only wants to learn more and more about you. And about what is in store for her in the future. She loves you more than anything. She's here tonight knowing that when she's baptized, she's accepted, she's saved, as she's already accepted salvation for believing in you, Lord. So we're here tonight to celebrate Trenace's faith, Trenace's belief in you, Jesus. Watch over her, keep her out of harm's way. We pray that she goes upward and onward, and only her life gets better and better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Trinace, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ, I now baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. This is John Ellis, and we are thankful that God has directed John to Brookside. He came in, I think, on a Wednesday night and went to Dr. Schmidt's class on eschatology and prophecy, and then as he heard about baptism, he said, I want to come and be baptized. And so, John, you know you're on your way to heaven.
I have total, complete assurance and confidence in Jesus Christ.
Amen. Why don't you share with our folks your testimony here?
My whole life I claimed to be a Christian, but never had total and complete confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I lived a very selfish life and one that was not pleasing to God. I would see people that would call themselves Christians, including myself, and see no difference between myself and the world, and yet claim to be God's child. About 5 years ago, I became a Hebrew Israelite and tried to keep the laws of the Old Testament and failed at keeping them. I was trying to live like a Jew. I still had no confidence and assurance in Christ alone for my salvation. I was like Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul, and not in a good way. I also, like Apostle Peter, denounced Jesus Christ before man. And like Apostle Paul, I persecuted those who claimed to be Christians and told them they believed in a false Messiah. This year I was listening to the Word of God being preached as I was being strongly convicted of my sin. On August 23rd, I repented to God for my sins and cried out in Jesus' name for his forgiveness, mercy, and grace to deliver me from the sin that had me bound since youth. And on that day, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Just that, Lord of my life, to obey him in the teachings and the Word of God, and as my Savior for the sins, and as my Savior of my sins and only hope for salvation. And the sin that I once loved, I now hate. And I became a new creature, delivered from the sins that had me bound, and became a born-again child of God.
And that will give satisfaction, John, right there. Jesus Christ. I mean, people are always looking, you know, for a different way, but it's Jesus Christ. And Pastor Joe had the opportunity to come in and share a little bit with us as we were talking about your testimony in Christ. And so we've asked Pastor Joe if you would pray for John here.
Father, we are so delighted to be here tonight to celebrate with John what you have done in his life. Lord, thank you for watching over him and really pursuing him all these years. Thank you that you never gave up on him. Thank you that your love shone through. Thank you that your Spirit led him to conviction of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Lord, thank you for the glorious salvation that he's experienced. And Father, I pray that you would fill him with your Spirit. May you work to renew him in his mind, that he may demonstrate what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, be fruitful in his life. May he be filled with the knowledge of your will and with zeal and passion. Live for you in a way that is light and salt and an ambassador of Jesus Christ in the years that you give him left. In Jesus' name, amen.
John, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Brandon. Come on up, Brandon.
Hop in.
All right. This is Brandon Warzon. And Brandon, you got several family members here, don't you?
Oh, I got tons of family here.
You got tons. All right, if you're here family with Brandon, let me just raise your hand there. Oh, good to have you. Yeah. We're excited. Thank you for coming. Now, Brandon, do you know you're on your way to heaven?
I do.
I like that. Why don't you share how you know you're going to live with God one day?
Well, he took me out for lunch one day in October, and he said, "Brandon, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I can make you 100% sure." And that's when I gave my life to God. I asked him to forgive me for my sins, and I'm here now.
And you put your faith and trust in Jesus, didn't
yes.
you? And I loved it. It was a great day.
Yes, thank you.
I remember when we were talking, you had said that when I asked you what would you say to God if he said, "Brandon, why should I let you into my heaven?" And you said, "Well, I believe."
Yes.
And we talked about that the Bible says the devils believe and they even tremble. And so we know it's more than just a head knowledge. And I think you had kind of had a little bit of that, and it traveled down to your heart. You opened up your life, and you invited Jesus into your life.
Yes.
That was an exciting day.
Thank you.
I'm really happy for you. And I know you've been coming, getting involved in college class some. And so we're thankful that you're willing to follow the Lord in baptism. And Brandon has asked his mother. Where is she? Angelica, if you would pray before Brandon is baptized. And I know Mom is excited about this time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for sending your son to come and sacrifice and save us and all of us for forgiveness and all our sins. I thank you, Lord, for everyone that came to watch Brandon publicly acknowledge his obedience to you, Father, his desire to serve you, to want to become a follower of Christ. And I pray that he has the will, that he follows your will, Lord Jesus, and that the walk is a walk that is obedient to you, Father. Only you can allow us to be joyful and happy and peaceful in your walk. The world out there is difficult, and I pray that he desires to follow you in all directions, and I pray that we here as a body of Christ can just show him the way that needs. And I thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Brandon, upon your public profession of faith in Jesus Christ alone to save you from your sins, I now baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of Christ's death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection. Well, the power of the gospel, and the gospel is still at work, and we have the wonderful privilege this week of going out and talking to people. It might even be family members that you're able to be with. And just share that wonderful truth that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That's what people are looking for. They're looking for a happiness. They're looking for hope. They're looking for what's going to happen to me when I die. And we're so thankful that God loved us and he sent his son Jesus. And if you need to follow the Lord in baptism, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, please contact us so we can get another baptism scheduled. We love these times. It's a great time, a wonderful time for a praise service. And so we're going to have some singing, some testimonies. Some of you can share what God has been doing in your life, what you're thankful for, and then we'll just look at a psalm together, and then we'll break and have a time of fellowship downstairs. And so I hope you all will stay. You're invited. We'll have a great time together around some good food. So thank you so much, and thank you for being here.
All right, that's exciting. Aren't you glad you came tonight? It's wonderful to see what God is doing in our community and here at Brookside. And as we think about that, let's think about those that are around the world doing the same thing, knowing that our missionaries are seeking to see the same things happening, people coming to know Christ as their Savior and seeing people baptized and following him. This week, if you think about it, as we go throughout the busyness of the holiday season, remember the Chapmans as they serve in Peru. There's some young couples that are attending their church, so please pray for them. And then Cheryl's sister is recovering from surgery. And then also that the Lord would just provide for them a place to rent for their services. Also, as you think about it, around this time of year, it can get really difficult and discouraging for some of our shut-ins. As we all go about our normal business, some of them can't get out and about like we can. So make sure you pray for them, specifically this week, if you would remember VJ Ewer in your prayers. And then as the men come for the offering tonight, just throughout this week, make sure you're giving thanks to God. Make sure you take time on Thursday as you gather around your table to thank the Lord for what he has done for you and for what he has done here at Brookside even tonight. Lord, we come before you this evening. We thank you so much for those who have not only put their faith in you, but have taken that step of obedience of baptism tonight. What a wonderful time it is to see believers following you in obedience. Lord, we ask that you would be with all of our missionaries, but specifically this week that you'd be with the Chapmans in Peru, that you would just work through that ministry there, let them see many people come to know Christ as their Savior, and see that church grow. Just be with all the different obstacles that they may be facing right now in regards to the rent. Lord, we do ask that you would be with those that are not able to be with us tonight and throughout the week on a regular basis. We think of VJ and many others who are unable to come and be with us. Lord, we just ask that you would encourage them. And Father, we also ask that you'd be with those that are struggling in regards to recovery and different medical issues. I think especially of Pastor Ken and the situation with his father. We just ask that you give grace to the family there. Think of those that are recovering from surgery, that you give them strength. And now, Lord, as we take up this offering and we give back just a portion of all the blessings that you have given to us, may you use it for your honor and for your glory. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, Andrea. And let's stand and sing Give Thanks.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Lord.
Be seated.
All right, must be crowded in the changing room. Well, this is ad lib time. Part of our praise service year to year has really a blessing when folks from our own church family or others are able to stand and give us a testimony of what God has been doing in their heart or something that they're really super specially thankful for this last year. And so perhaps you have a testimony that you'd like to give tonight. We certainly invite you to come and do that. And Pastor Ken's going to wield the mic for us, or Jim, or whatever. So, Pastor, I'll let you take over.
If you have a testimony, just raise your hand. These guys will get a mic to you.
I'd like to say something. First of all, I had my brother this a few weeks ago had a surgery, and he was heavily involved in this holistic movement to the point that he felt that just drinking juice and eating vegetables, he didn't need any medication or anything. And he had surgery on his knee, and they had sent him home with some blood thinners to prevent blood clot. And in his ignorance, he didn't take it, and he had blacked out. He suffered. He just blacked out, and his girlfriend was there with him, and was able to call emergency and take him to the hospital. And he was in intensive care for 10 days. So I'm grateful that his girlfriend was there. Otherwise, we probably would have found him a couple of days later dead. And also the opportunity to share the gospel with him. Now my brother's not saved, but he's been very receptive, and it's unfortunate that. It's situations like that that kind of draw us to the cross, but I'm thankful for that, and I just want to thank God for that testimony. So,
important. Oh, okay. Well, some of you may know me already. My name is Ricky Bennett. My wife Valerie, she hurt her toe tonight, so she couldn't come. She can barely walk on it. I was going to stay, but I really wanted to come because I love to see baptisms, and this is a great thing. But, you know, I was thinking about a lot of things to be thankful for but this year, but I have to say the biggest one that keeps flooding my heart is Brookside Baptist Church. And I'm not saying this to fluff anything up, but, you know, as much as I've searched all my life and I love the Lord and I love the truth, and I love it being put out not only in love but in understanding in a way you can comprehend, and I just feel safe hearing the word. And I searched for that for so long. And I started here back in May, so that's still this year that it's new to me. You know, and this is not to puff anybody up. It's just a fact, and it's the truth. You know, I was thinking about all the things. I have a lot to be thankful for, but I really want to put that on the top of my list because it's been a long journey into some place where I feel comfortable, and I sit and I look at some of the people that I've met, and I can see they generally look at me. You know, they don't look past me. They don't look and say, hey, you know, there's another person here. They look at me, you know. I mean, when we joined, I seen like five hands tried to go up real quick, you know, to be the first to accept us in, you know, and it was really a wonderful feeling, you know. So I just want to share that, and I'm really thankful. I'm thankful for Brookside, and I really just thank everybody here. I thank the pastors, everybody. Thanks.
Uh, 15 years ago, I adopted a little girl from Kazakhstan. And in June, my daughter and I were talking about seeing if I could find an interpreter to help us if I was to travel back to Kazakhstan. And we had written the Callens, who are church supports, because we've met them before. And I didn't hear back. And Friday afternoon, took off to go deer hunting. And just before I went deer hunting, I looked at a text or an email, and Tony Callen had written back and said, hey, sorry we haven't gotten back to you, but Katrina, their daughter, is a concert pianist, and she's from Kazakhstan, and she said she would love to be our interpreter and our tour guide basically next June when I take my daughter back to Kazakhstan. We're not necessarily going there to find her birth mother, but just show her a little bit of where she came from, and she's quite a blessing. And you church people are a real big blessing, and some of you were here when we adopted her 15 years ago, and she's got a heart to serve the Lord, and one day she may very well end up as a missionary in Africa, but you guys are a pretty good family here, so thanks. Amen.
I'm Kathy Ramsey, and I'm here for Trinace. I didn't know how to let people know that I'm here for her. So I just wanted to say I feel very blessed. My children are going down to see their father, who's possibly dying, Lake of the Ozarks. We're divorced. He has a lovely lady friend that he's with. It's the first time I've been down there since about 2000 or 2001. And I plan to bring my Christian life with me. He has not known how to express his faith. And so anyway, I feel blessed that I'm able to go. And I'm just kind of in a walk with Christ. And I'm going to leave it up to him. One, what I say. And also, my kids are having a secret thing they're going to say to me if I'm getting into things I shouldn't be talking about. So anyway, also, I wanted to join the choir about a month ago, and I came upstairs after practice, and I lost my balance, and I broke my ankle. So I didn't see the step in the choir loft, but I really had a good time explaining people where I got my broken foot. So I just enjoy the fellowship here. You're wonderful, and you know, I want to join, and you know, I was baptized years ago, but maybe I need to be baptized again. So anyway, thank you.
Good evening. My name is Rosetta Ware, and I want to try to make it through this testimony without crying. But it's about my 15-year-old grandson who lives with us. He wanted to take his life last Wednesday. And when he goes to school, I pray that God dispatch legions of angels around him to protect him. He left school. He said he just couldn't take it no more. He had some brain damage from when he was 2 months old. His mom beat him up when he was 2 months old. But, you know, it's real stressful. He has special needs. So he ran out of the school, Menominee Falls High School. It was on the bank of the rivers. There was five teachers around him with walkie-talkies trying to keep him from going in. He said he just didn't want to live no more. He couldn't take it. And then there's an officer in the school, Officer Weber. And I believe that God put him there to talk him out. He said, come on, Elijah. He said, you've done a lot of good things. He said, come on, buddy, give me a hug. He said, I don't want to live no more. And he gave him a hug. Guess he grabbed him, but right now he's in a mental facility and he wants to come home. So pray for him, and I hope he'll be home by Thanksgiving. He don't understand what's going on. He said, Mama, he calls me Mama because we've had him all of his life. He said, they put me in a mental institution. I said, well, it's nothing I can do. When you say you want to kill yourself, they have to take you in protective custody, but he don't understand. He's like 15, but he thinks on a 7 or 8 year old. So all the young people, you know, talk to somebody when you're feeling this way. And don't let Satan take over your mind. He is saved. He was saved when he was 11 years old. So pray for him. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, don't be ashamed. Share it, because you might help somebody.
Now, can we? Father, thank you, Lord, for Rosetta, Lord, and her sharing, Father, that burden, Lord, and as a body, Father, we lift up Elijah to you, Father, and pray that your Holy Spirit would work to bring people to surround him, Lord, with your love and your word, Father, that he would find comfort in your word, Lord. It's your word that's alive, that's able to bring life into a dead soul, Lord, a soul that's gone astray. Pray, Father, that you would surround him with believers and help him, Lord, to have a clear mind. Thank you for Rosetta and Thurman as well, Lord, and their willingness to just love him, Father, and just pray that you'd give them peace and strength, Lord, and as a church, that we continue to pray for him, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We got one. So, Kathy, you'll end it this evening for us, all right?
Thank you. I do have a lot of things to be thankful for, but this morning in the service, Pastor Ken brought up the fact that he loved this church so much, and I don't want to take away from Ricky loving this church at all, but it prompted me to go over things that have blessed me through this church, and one of them being that myself and my two sisters joined this church after looking at other churches, and we were prompted by many people just to come here. One of them being Tim Borchert. And for myself, I did have an incident in 2009 where I had a brain thing, and I know that it's the prayers of this church that helped me to survive that and to keep faculties that some people are astounded that I still have, except the sense of smell, which I guess I don't miss that much, but also good and bad, you know. But my sister, Joanne, passed away 2 years ago, and I know that it was the prayers of this church that helped her and her family, and myself included, to accept that with a peace, that we knew where she was going. That's said a lot, but we knew that. And we knew that some of her family needed to say that to see how that happened. And I think that members of this church and pastors and people who came to visit her while she was in hospice for a long time, she had met some very good friends here, and they all showed a great example of Christ's love for her and Christ himself. And for my sister Linda, who's still with us, she has a husband. She's a very strong believer, but she has a husband who is not. And this church and pastors from this church have rallied around her and also been trying to testify to him as to what, you know, I'm a Catholic. I was born Catholic. Well, that doesn't really mean anything. But so I know that she's very grateful for that. And I guess that there are many other things I'm grateful for, but this church and the family of people, the praying people here, are just, I can't even express in words, but thank you all.
Kathy, I just want to share one verse with you and then we'll be dismissed here. We find it in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. And the Apostle Paul said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." What he's talking there about is that indescribable gift that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, because God was not going to lower a standard for man to try to make. In fact, I think it was John who said he tried to keep all of the Old Testament laws. Well, there's 613 of them. It's pretty impossible to keep. Frustration sets in. And Jesus came and he lived a perfect life. He met all of those 613 laws. He never sinned. But he came specifically to die on the cross for your sins and for my sins. And a lot of times we can believe that with our head, but when it travels down to our heart, we open up our heart, we open up our life, realizing I can't be good enough to gain God's favor or approval. And the Apostle Paul, with a life of religion that he was involved in, I mean, he was wanting to beat down and kill Christians because he thought they had were preaching and teaching a different way than Judaism and the Old Testament law. And so he put all of his heart into that, and Jesus Christ got a hold of his heart. And he realized what they've been preaching and teaching has been right all along. And he trusted Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he became a different man. And he said, "I am so thankful for that gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ offers. I am thankful that there was a couple living in a mobile park in Greenville, South Carolina, who befriended my mom and dad, took them in. My dad was in the Air Force, and started to just be like family with them and kept sharing with them that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. And if you'll call on Jesus Christ to save you, you can know eternally you can live with him one day." And my dad now is near the front door of heaven. We're going out this week to be with him and most likely to conduct his funeral. And I am so thankful that he knows Jesus Christ personally, that someone took time to invest in his life, and he and my mother came to know Jesus. When I was in Colorado, we had started a program that we have here called Evangelism Explosion, and if you have not been in that program, can I encourage you to get in it? Because it changed my life. It changed my wife's life. I've grown up with different ways and presentations of, hey, this is the gospel. This is how Jesus came to save us. But it was when I went through that program that gave me a great tool to share the gospel. And we started with a couple of folks there in our church in Colorado. And our pastor, I remember, said, "Well, what do you think is going to happen when we start this?" I said, "It's going to change our church. We're going to start seeing less squabbling, and we're going to see more people coming in that are saying, I put my faith in Jesus Christ, and I want to follow him in baptism." And that's what started to happen. But with that first team, I had a fellow by the name of Jimmy Wofford, and Jimmy was on the team, and he said, man, I always want to learn to share the gospel. But Jimmy said, you know, I can't memorize all that stuff. Man, I'm just going to read it when I get with people. And I said, well, let's keep working. Let's try to help you with this. And I remember we would go out on either Monday or Tuesday evening, and he called me that week, and he said, hey, I'm going hunting this week, so I'm not going to be there to go out and talk to people about the Lord. Well, we had a team of three. It was Jimmy and I, and then Jeannie Campbell was on our team. I said, well, I was a little frustrated. I was a little upset. I said, oh, great. I guess we'll just cancel because I can't just go out with Jeannie Campbell and share the gospel with somebody. So, all right, go on ahead. Enjoy your hunting. Well, he called me Saturday night, and I was still a little with him. And I said, when he called, I go, hey, did you get your buck? He goes, no, I didn't get my buck. I got something better than that. I go, I can't wait to hear. What happened? He said, well, you know, John has been in our church a long time, John French. And he goes, John and I went hunting. And, you know, I told you I was going to practice on my friend. You know, he's gone here to our church for a long time. And so I was practicing on him, telling him that we're all sinners, but that the gift of salvation is a free gift, and Jesus paid for it, and we can accept it. He said, and the whole time, he said, when I asked him the question, John, what would you say to God if he said to you, John French, why should I let you come into heaven? And he said, Ken, all of a sudden, he got weird on me. And so I just thought, whatever. And we bunked out that night in the tent, in the cabin, or whatever they were in, and he said, the next day we got up, and I said, okay, John, you go that way, and you try to rustle him up, and head them our direction, and we're going to get us a few buck right here. He said, but we didn't see nothing. I said, I came back, and John was walking back, and I said, John, did you see anything? He goes, no. He goes, you didn't see anything? He goes, no. You see that big tree over there? I've been sitting under that tree the whole day. He goes, why have you been sitting under that tree the whole day? We're out here hunting, man. And John looked at him and said, when you asked me that question last night, it pierced my heart. He said, I've been in Baptist churches for many, many years, and you're the first one that ever asked me that question. What would I say to God if I was face to face with him? He said, man, I've been living a lie the whole time. I've been doing this for my wife. He said, and when you asked me that, I sat under that big oak over there, and I was under conviction the whole day. And today, Jimmy, I want to thank you for talking to me, because I put my faith and trust in Jesus to save me. Jimmy said, what do you think about that, Ken? I said, well, I'm really excited about that. I'm glad you didn't get a buck or see a buck, but that John French put his faith and trust in you. He said, but here's the kicker. John French wants you to have an invitation on Sunday, and he wants to march right down that center aisle. And he has been in this church for many, many years, but he wants people to know he put his faith and trust in Jesus. And the next day, John French did that. And John French came to me and said, when's the next baptism? I said, well, he goes, hey, I got baptized. I played the game. I got baptized. I got saved under that oak tree, and I want to follow the Lord in baptism. And it was a beautiful baptismal service when John French, member of our church, followed the Lord in baptism. And can I tell you what? John French is in the presence of God today because he passed away about 5 years ago. And I believe that when he saw the Lord, oh, it was just wonderful and beautiful. Can you imagine what it'll be like to see Jesus? He paid for our sin. His body was broken. His blood was shed for us. But I got to imagine when Jimmy Wofford gets up into heaven, John French is going to be right there with some of those angels waiting to say, man, I got to give you a hug. Thank you for talking to me and telling me that I could live eternally with you one day with Jesus. And you know what? That is the indescribable gift, that Jesus Christ died for sinners. If he was still dead, let's go home. We're all playing church. But he was risen 3 days later. And the Bible says he's preparing a place for us, and he offers it to us as a free gift. This Thanksgiving could be a great Thanksgiving for you. If you recognize, you know what? They've been talking about this all evening, and I've not picked it up. But I understand that I'm a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for my sin. And today, tonight, this week, Thanksgiving week, could be the most wonderful Thanksgiving when you invite Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the great privilege of seeing these folks follow you in baptism this evening, their testimony. Others have professed, again, the wonderful time that they put their faith and trust in you. And Father, we would be remiss. I'd be a bad pastor to just say amen and we go away. There might be folks here that would say, Ken, I have never, ever put my faith and trust in Jesus. Tonight, though, I believe I need to. I'd like to talk with someone. We will never embarrass you. But if you'd like to talk with someone, folks have their heads bowed and their eyes closed, and I'm the only one looking. If you'd like to talk to someone, if you'll just kind of signal with an uplifted hand, hey, could you get with me afterwards? I'll be glad to get with anyone afterwards here. Anyone at all to say, hey, I need to know for sure what's going to happen to me after I die. Father, it is a wonderful, indescribable gift that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, recognizing their sinful condition, that, Father, you've sent your Son to come into our life and to save us from our sins. Thank you. And you're personal. You will come in and save each one that invites you. And so, Father, thank you for this evening, for the day. May we have a wonderful time together in our fellowship. We ask that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies that we're about to partake of. Thank you for those that have prepared it. And may the fellowship be sweet this evening. May we be an encouragement to one another. And Father, will you give us a wonderful week to live for you and to advance your kingdom with those that you bring into our life now. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so much. There is no midweek service this week.